This morning, Isaiah chapter 55, just two verses. This morning we'll read together verses 8 and 9. So Isaiah chapter 55, let's read together on both verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
It's only a guess, but probably the first prayer that you memorized was, God is good, God is great, and we thank him for our food. That may have been your first prayer. I don't know. I know it was mine. That's the one that I remember. God is good, God is great, and we thank him for our food. Truly, God is great, much greater than any of us will ever give him credit for. He honestly is. And in today's Christianity, it seems as though he's been cheapened by Christianity. We never want that to happen at Timberline Baptist Church. It was in the beginning that God created the heavens and the earth, and you just don't get much greater than that. He created it all. The breath of his nostrils. He said, let it be, let there be, and it was. And he is certainly great. When I think of God's greatness, I think of Psalm 8. Perhaps some of you have already gone there in your mind. But let me read Psalm 8 to you as it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. This old world steals our attention away from God, doesn't it? When you think about this week, how much time have any of us spent thinking about God, or even talking to him, or reading his word? The cares of this life, the affairs of this life, all the things that come into us, they steal our attention away from him. How great is God? How great is he? He should fill our thoughts and our minds. Brother Penn in Sunday school this morning gave reference to some of what I'm going to read this morning, not knowing what I was going to bring in the message today. How great is God? The Bible tells us that the heavens are his throne and the earth is his footstool. Isaiah 66 and verse 1, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth my footstool. How great is God? The Bible says he walks on the wings of the wind. Psalm 104 and verse 3, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. How great is God? Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. We sang it a moment ago, Psalm 48 and verse 1. How great is God? The Bible says that he fills the whole earth. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 24. How great is God? The Bible says his train fills the temple. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. How great is God? Says the, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 26, he owns everything in this earth. Not a bit of it does he not own. When we take offerings and say, give God back a portion of what God has given to us, it all belongs to him. It all belongs to him. How great is God? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Psalm 50 and verse 10, for every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. How great is God? The entire universe, the Bible says, can be held in the palm of his hand. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 12 says this, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. How great is God? The Word of God describes him so perfectly. He's bigger and greater and stronger and more wonderful than anything on this earth. The truth is, from even a casual reading of the scriptures, we find that God is truly greater than all. That little prayer that we learned as a child, God is good and God is great. We didn't understand what we were saying when we were little. We understood, oh, sure, God is good. And God is great, but we did not understand the magnitude of his greatness. And to be honest with you, to this day, we still cannot comprehend the magnitude of his greatness. The fact lends itself to the fact that there are times that we just don't understand God. And we don't. He has written things we don't quite understand. He's done things that we don't quite understand. And he has allowed things that we don't quite understand. But what is man? The Bible tells us that man was created a little lower than the angels. Angels were created by God. My question is this, though. Where do we come up with the idea that we are as great and as good and as wise as our God? We question him. We wonder what God is doing, and that's okay to wonder what God is doing. And it's okay to ask questions, but not to question him, you see. His greatness is over all. When I think about the greatness of God, I think about what Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. God's thoughts are above our thoughts. That's right. God thinks differently than we do. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Oh, how many times have I said this through the years, but I have to remind myself of it quite often. Nothing has ever occurred to God. As I said a long time ago, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? He's never taken by surprise, astonished at us, but nothing ever takes him by surprise. You see, his thoughts are far above our own, and God never thought a bad thought. And I know that he thought about bad thoughts because he made provision to forgive us of our sinful thoughts, but he never had a bad thought. He never thought a bad thing. God is never confused. God is never in a quandary. He is never flummoxed. His thoughts are above our thoughts and have always been that way. What a blessing to know that his thoughts are above our own. But listen to this. God thinks about me. His thoughts are above our thoughts, but he takes time to think about me. One of my favorite verses in all the Psalms is Psalm chapter 40 and verse 17, where the psalmist said, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. When I think about the insignificance of this earth in the midst of our galaxy, in the midst of this universe in which we exist, God takes time to think about me. Think about that just for a moment. He takes time to think about you and me. As I drive from time to time around the city of Colorado Springs and up and down the pass and different places that I go, the hundreds of thousands of automobiles containing human beings and those that God thinks about us. God, among the thousands, among the billions of people upon this earth right now, God thinks about Dan Parton. And I'm thankful for that. God thinks about me even though God is not foremost in my thoughts. The Bible says in Psalm 10 and verse 4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts, but yet I am in all of God's thoughts. Amazing. When I think about the greatness of God, I think about how God's ways are above our ways. Again, back to Isaiah 50, 5, verses 8 and 9, we started with these words, which says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." But listen to the next line. He says, "Neither are your ways my ways." And then he goes on and says, "So are my ways higher than your ways." We cannot judge God's ways by our own. There's no way we can do that. And there's no way that we can even attempt that and be successful. We sometimes judge God by our own ways, and we judge God by our own thoughts. And we figure that if we like it, God must like it as well. And if we're for it, then God must be for it. Isaiah makes it clear that his ways are above our ways. Everything that pleases me does not please him. And everything that pleases God does not always please me. I've got to be honest and say that. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It's amazing how God makes this clear throughout Scripture, where the Word of God says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." See, God's way is better than our way. In fact, our way is only good if we let God own our way, which is what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is all about, giving God ownership, turning ownership over to God of every path of our lives. Sadly, we like to hold on to our ways, don't we? We like to hold on to our traditions and hold on to what we've always thought and what we've always believed. We like to hold on to that. But God says, "No, you let me own that path in your life." He said, "Then I will guide you." God's way is better than our way. In fact, our way can only be good if we let God own that way. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25, it simply says this, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Oh, there's things that seem good to us and seem right to us, but the end thereof is destruction. And sometimes even physical death. And amazing how man's way has always been the wrong way unless he listened to God's way and let God's way rule in his life. You see, our way may not even be a wickedly sinful way. That's just it. But it is just our way, and it's not God's way. Isaiah 53:6. Oh, listen to this once again. Taste it again for the very first time. But listen to the way you can take this verse apart. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." It does not say his own sinful way. It does not say his own wicked way. It does not. All it says, his way. And it may include wickedness, and it may include sinfulness, and it may include selfishness, and it may include all kinds of sin. But it doesn't say any of those. It can imply it. But all it says, we turn to our own way, and that's not God's way. So we must learn to walk away from our way and toward God's way, for his ways are above our own. Someone once said, God's way is the best way. I think a lot of us have said that, but God's way is truly the best way. You know what Jesus said in John 14, 6? He gave us direction on what the way is. Even Isaiah said that God's way is perfect. Walk ye in it. But Jesus said in John 14, 6, "I am the way," not a way, the way, the right way, God's way, that way that is above our way, that thought that is above our thought. All of that is found in the little phrase, Jesus said, "I am the way." Because of this, there is no other way to heaven. And God's way is the best way, but it's also the only way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. God's way is the only way. Many roads may lead to Rome, but there's only one way to heaven, and it's in the name of the Lord Jesus, and that's it. Nothing else. As I was explaining to a man just in the last couple of weeks, right here in this very auditorium, I was telling him about when my children were small. We learned a hard lesson rearing our children. You don't ever ask your kids what they want when you get to McDonald's, because there's too many things on the menu. There's kids' meals, there's cheeseburgers, there's this, there's that, there's french fries, there's chocolate shakes, and there's, if the machine's working, and strawberry shakes, and vanilla shakes, and all the rest of it. So what we learned to do was simply write down the order before we got there. Why? Because there's too many things on the menu. Religion today has put too many things on the menu. They say you can get to heaven through Mary. They say you can get to heaven through the Pope. They say you can get to heaven through the baptistry tank. They say you can get to heaven through the Baptist church. They say you can get to heaven by keeping the law of God. They say you can get to heaven by all of these works of righteousness. Too many things on the menu. Jesus has only got one thing on the menu. He said, I'm the way. And his name is on that menu, and that's it. There is no other way to heaven. See, did the man understand that? I think he grasped part of it, but I'm not sure that he grasped all of it. When I think about the greatness of God, I think also that his words are above our own. There's a verse that I'd like you to turn to and look at. Psalm 138 and verse 2. Psalm 138 is a wonderful psalm. It's one of the greatest psalms. It's one of the psalms that God used to bring us to Timberline 35 years ago. Psalm 138 and verse 2, the Bible says this, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. That's an amazing, all thy name, it says. It is at the name of Jesus, the Bible says, every knee is going to bow. You see a lot of things since the political realm moved into sports a couple of years ago and all the rest of it. And many people wrote, says, I only bow the knee to the Lord Jesus. And we understand what they're saying, but I want to say this. There is coming a day when every knee, those who reject Christ, those who reject God, those who reject the truth, every knee is going to bow before him. Very amazing thing. His name, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, but God has magnified his word above his name. He is the creator of the universe, but he has magnified his word above his name. He created man from the dust of the earth and woman from the rib of man, but he has magnified his word above his name. He brought about the miracle of salvation. Thank God for that. But he has magnified his word above his name. He sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, but he has magnified his word above his name. He is coming again with clouds and glory, but he has magnified his word above his name. He will one day grind Satan under his foot, but he has magnified his word above his name. A riddle was asked one time, and it goes like this. What is greater than God? More evil than the devil? The poor have it, the rich don't need it, and if you eat it, you'll die. Many people have given it thought. A lot of people know the answer. But the answer in the riddle is simply this, nothing. Nothing is greater than God. Nothing is more evil than the devil. The poor have nothing, the rich need nothing, and if you eat nothing, you'll die. It all fits together. The Bible gives us an answer to what God believes is greater than his name. And the Bible says that he's magnified his word above all of his name. What right does God have? What right does man have to doubt what God says? I mean, we're the creation, not the creator. We are the sinful, not the holy. But what right does man have? The Bible says in Isaiah 45 and verse 9, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. And in your Bible, there's a capital M there. Or at least there should be. The word maker there is referring to God, the creator. It says, let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands. And this is why James tells us these words from God. It says, wisdom comes from God above. There's wisdom from above. And there's the wisdom that comes from beneath. But the wisdom that comes from beneath is devilish and worldly. The wisdom that comes from a God is not mixed. So, when I think about that, God's ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. Everything about God is beyond us and everything about us, you see. What right does the created thing have to question the Creator? God's men and God's counselors must get their words from him whose words are above their own, you see. Got to be careful when somebody starts spouting off their belief without it being what God says. have to be careful about that. God's men and God's counselors must get their counsel from the Word of God and from God Himself. Now listen very, very carefully. I'm not going to keep you long this morning, but I want you to hear the last few remarks that I make. What is man that God is mindful of him? God said it right when he said that man was made a little lower than the angels. And sometimes we get too big for our own britches and begin to think that our way is better than God's way. And we've all done that from time to time. Some more than others, some less than others. And sometimes we think that we are smarter than God, but we find that God's thoughts are not our own. And then there are those times when we get to thinking that our wisdom exceeds the very wisdom of God. And it does not. God has exalted His Word above His name. It is not our place to exalt our Word above His own. Well, I know what the Bible says, but so many times through the years, people have said to me, well, I know what the Bible says, but this is what I think. I know what the Word of God says. I've heard it 100 times, but these are my thoughts. Got to be careful with that. There are times when we just simply don't understand God. He has written things we don't quite understand, and He's done things that we don't quite understand, and He has allowed things that we don't quite understand. Well, there are reasons for that. And the Bible explains it. He is above us in every way. And God can be, in every way that God can be above us, He is above us. His thoughts, His words, everything. He's greater than us. God is good. God is great. And I thank Him that He's those things. As Francis Havergal penned many years ago, every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust Him fully, all for us to do, and they who trust Him wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y, not H-O-L-Y. And they who trust Him wholly find Him wholly true. God can be trusted. But yet, sometimes we think that He can't be. He doesn't work things out the way that we thought He would. He doesn't do things the way that we think He ought to do them. We have to understand His ways. And just asking God for His understanding, asking God for His wisdom, those are the things that we need to do. This old world will do everything it can to cloud our hearts and our minds from the things of God. And by the way, done a pretty good job. Told you about the man I was witnessing to. The philosophies of this world had so clouded his heart and his mind, just had a hard time grasping, because as so many of God's people say today, and so many of those who don't know the Lord Jesus, the next phrase is, but what about this? And what about that religion? And what about that group? And what about this philosophy? And but what about that? And it just begins to cloud things up in the minds. But at least he listened. God is good. God is great. And there's no question about that in any of our hearts and in our minds.